Welcome to the But Here We Go podcast, coming at you from But Here We Go Studios in Dallas, Texas. We were originally going to record last night.
And the night before that.
Maybe the night before that, too. But as our faithful listeners know, it's been
a low priority.
Almost 2 months.
February 15th was the last release.
We said we were going to start getting on a rhythm. The goal was that rhythm to be maybe bi-weekly. Instead, we're doing bi-monthly.
Remember when we were really consistent and like on the dot, it was like every week.
We hit 1 year straight with missing maybe one or two episodes. Right. 1 or 2 weeks.
What do you think? Why do we stop? What's going on? I guess you've been very busy.
Yeah, I've been very busy right now. Are you asking about this recent stint of no recording or just in general?
Both.
Because the reason we stopped was, well, let me start with the reason we began. The reason we began.
Hold on, pause. Have you ever seen those, like, when, like, BuzzFeed started going under and a bunch of people started leaving BuzzFeed and then their YouTube videos would pop up, like, this is why I left BuzzFeed? I feel like this is why we stopped recording.
This is why we stopped recording. But you have to know where we began to understand where we are
today. Exactly how the video.
So, all that to say, we started recording way back when, having fun with it, and also seeing just what would happen. I had to learn how to use the equipment and get comfortable in front of a mic. You were doing podcast editing at the time for pay, and so it was mutually beneficial to us to practice our specific talents doing that.
And we didn't have a ton of money to spend on date nights. And so this was a way for us to get quality
time. Yeah, it was a way to get quality time. Now, since then, I still have a podcast, which I've not paid for.
I'm no longer editing.
You no longer edit podcasts. The one thing that hasn't changed is that we still don't have money for date nights. That hasn't changed.
But apparently we needed less quality time together.
But apparently we don't need quality time anymore. That, and we're also super busy, despite not having these things
right.
in place.
You've been to a lot of conferences.
Writing grants, not podcasting.
Right.
Although I do still have Energy Transition Solutions. Everybody go listen to it. Give me that 5-star rating. Help me find a sponsor.
Right. Well, to have a disclaimer, I'm assuming that this will be posted probably tonight because I need to do a really bad, not bad editing job, but I need to edit it tonight and post it because I'm taking my laptop to the Apple store tomorrow so they can replace the screen and it will be gone all week. So if, who knows, this could be... I could cuss and I'll keep it on. Joking. I won't.
No way.
But like, I'm not going to edit it as closely as I normally do. Not that I usually edit anything out.
It's just going to be a fast edit.
Right. So apologies. Apologies. And then I don't know. I guess like when I get my laptop back is when we can do another podcast.
We can podcast before that. It just
won't give us.
It may just go out later.
But need I might remind everyone, our very first episode was just you and me sitting on the couch watching the Olympics. And it was completely unedited. Speaking of which, the Olympics are this summer, are they not? Because I have seen zero advertisements. Like none, which I find surprising.
It should be this summer.
Which is quickly upon us.
I think it's because we don't watch that much
cable.
Television. Yeah. We watch
Netflix.
CBS.
For Survivor.
But otherwise...
Because CBS doesn't do the Olympics. It's just
the
NBC.
The Olympics are NBC?
Yeah.
So that's why we haven't seen any ads.
There you go.
I wonder, are there... You know what does surprise me? Although it doesn't because we don't watch it that much. Is not seeing ads on Hulu for the Olympics. But
yeah, but when was the last time we watched something on Hulu?
That's exactly what I was thinking. When was the last time we watched something on Hulu?
We were a few episodes behind Abbott Elementary. That's maybe, the only thing we watched on Hulu.
Maybe Hulu doesn't accept those ads because Hulu is owned by Disney.
Maybe. Who knows? Side note, we were recommended to watch the TV show Shogun, which allegedly is on Hulu. So maybe we should watch an episode and we'll see an Olympic commercial.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will.
Okay. So in typical But Here We Go fashion, I have about four or five science-related articles to read.
Before we get to those.
Right.
I just want to point out the elephant in the room. Earlier, meaning yesterday, you said Canes is overrated.
I was like, I don't know what this is.
This is, but less than, we've been recording for 6 minutes, so less than 6 minutes and 30 seconds ago, you pointed out that the Canes truck, the little toy from their toy thing, is pretty cool.
Well, okay, one, the quality of the toy has nothing to do with the quality of the chicken. Two, I think it's cool. It is also literally the cheapest. You know how much money they make? This cost them less than a nickel to make this thing. This is not a Chick-fil-A level children's toy. I will be throwing this away in 2 days as soon as Jacob forgets that it exists.
Now, we've got 3.5 minutes to talk about this. I will make sure we cut it off by 10 minutes in. But I think we have to give Canes some kudos here because they make you build a little toy as part of the kids' meal. It makes you think about, you know, engineering type stuff.
I just hear you say that they have free child labor to
make the toys.
To put together their own toy. That is cheap. Here's the thing. To put the whole thing to rest, would you eat at Canes if they didn't have the sauce? No.
I would.
Would you prefer?
Sometimes. Sometimes I would go there. If the only reason we go there.
Sometimes you go. Sometimes I'll go to McDonald's. It doesn't mean I like McDonald's. But would you go, because you said at the restaurant that it was all about the sauce and otherwise it was meh, which is, and now you're calling me out.
I didn't say
on
meh.
Public radio.
I didn't say meh. I said it is kind of run of the mill. There's nothing special about it.
What I said.
Am I going to go to Canes or am I going to go to some
Chick-fil-A.
Random chicken shop that has bad chicken?
I don't know where a random bad chicken shop is.
Yeah, I don't know either, actually.
All I'm saying is that, one, do you remember Super Chicks?
Yeah, I remember it.
Do they
exist
anymore?
I don't know.
Because
they don't have
like
any down
all
here.
All over the place. And now I'm like, no one talks about it. I think Fried Chicken had a moment where like other people were trying to compete with Chick-fil-A. And I feel like Canes is one of the ones that has lasted out of like the gauntlet of the chicken places and exists because people like the sauce. And honestly, their fries are really salty and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, like I don't like the sauce. So there's the problem is I will not eat the Canes sauce because I think it's disgusting. And that's just because I'm weird. I don't like ketchup. And just the mental thought of knowing that there's ketchup in the sauce really messes me up.
It's too close to red.
It's too close. But when we were there last night or whatever,
you brought ranch.
Chick-fil-A ranch. And I was really interested to see if it was, like, if I would like it with a sauce. Because otherwise, you just eat it dry. I don't like eating dry Canes chicken. And I ate it with Chick-fil-A ranch, and it wasn't good. Their chicken is bland. Like, it was not good at all. So that, to me, it was the nail in the coffin for Canes for me. Was the sauce didn't change how I liked the chicken.
I recognize that the chicken can come across as bland. I think that it to me is some of the juicier chicken and consistently juicy chicken. If you get it, it's fresh. It has this moment where when it first comes out, it's way too hot. You can't eat it. It has a moment in there where it is juicy and tender. And the breading just has a hint of something, which is probably just some salt or something. but
a hint of something.
Just a hint of something. And in that moment, the chicken is really good.
And then after that moment, it's not good.
I have to concede.
If you don't try and eat
Cane's after the fact, after it has cooled down, it is no longer
good. It's like the eclipse. Really, the cool part is when the 4 minutes of totality, but before or after, you really don't know what's going on.
You can't tell anything. You know, I wouldn't mind starting to try some of the other chicken shops. I know there's a thing called Super Chicks. There's a place called Golden Chick. There's a place.
Golden Chick is dope. Golden Chick is superior to Cane's.
There's Wayne's Fried Chicken or whatever it is.
I want to try Jubilee or what's it called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
They just opened one down Jubilee.
Okay, never heard of it, but there's that. I've been to Hattie B. Hattie B's got some good chicken. I feel like you think the chicken heyday has passed. I think there's a chicken underground where people are really into chicken and we're not part of that chicken underground.
Okay, well,
and that's why aren't going around seeing it.
To close this segment, which lasted far longer than 3 minutes, if you're listening to this and you're just either one, a diehard Cane's fan, and you want to come at me, fight me, name the time, I will literally die on this hill. or let us know what your preferred chicken place is and we'll go check it out.
Yeah, we'll check it out.
See what I
Let's go
think
get some chicken together.
Obviously, my opinion is what matters here. So,
what really confuses me though, this is not something to be answered. Was it, whether it was Super Chicks or Golden Chick or whoever, one of the chickens, and this goes also to Jolly Pop or whatever that
Jollibee,
sure, yeah. Whatever.
Jollibee, I don't know.
Jolly Bali. The chicken place was known for their chicken and their frozen custard. Like, who's known for their frozen custard? Just like Jolly Polly.
That's because you have this very strange man crush on Freddy's.
No. I'm just saying that is what they advertised. They said, we're a chicken shop.
Who?
And come eat our custard.
I feel like we're getting heated over chicken, and I don't know why.
And that takes me to Jolly Polly, we got burgers, we got fries, and we got pies. I'm like, who puts pies on like a permanent sign? Who puts pies? Unless you're like the pie shop in Houston.
I'm pretty sure Jollibee's. We're spending too much time talking about chicken. I'm pretty sure Jollibee's or Jujubee's or Jelly Willy, whatever they're called. I'm pretty sure that's like a Southern chain, and they're now getting more popular in Texas.
And pies are their thing.
Well, pie.
One of the three top three.
Is it fried pies?
I don't know what it is.
Well,
it just says
is
pies.
A southern,
just says
southern
pies
thing.
On their thing.
Okay.
Top three items you sell pies in there. So just in case we're not mad about that. I'm not mad about it, and we're not throwing shade at.
I'm throwing
they are.
Shade at Cane's.
Yeah, we're throwing shade at Cane's, not at Tulip Bali. Tulip Hulip. We're not throwing shade at them. They are on Greenville right after what?
You
university.
You telling people so they can go,
go
fight them?
Check it out. Tell me what kind
In
of pie
fact, they're
it is.
They're this episode's sponsor.
I want to know what the pie is. Yeah, they are the unofficial sponsor because, you know, as much as I'm saying why do they have pies on a permanent sign, it got me. Like, I'm still talking about them.
That's just what they are famous for.
Well, you... You fooled me.
Not for Joe.
You
Joe
fooled
does
me.
Not I'm, allow you to be famous.
I've
for
never even heard of them. And they took over.
That's because you're from the Midwest.
And here's the thing. They took
what?
Over.
I'm looking it up.
They took over a Jack in the Box.
How do you spell? I don't even know what it's called.
I don't even know what it's called either.
Jollibee's. Oh, I found it.
They took over a Jack in the Box. So if you take over a Jack in the Box, my first assumption is that you're fast food. Pies are not exactly fast food. Boy. That's why I'm so confused. What, are they like a Baker's Square or something?
I don't know what Baker's Square is, but I'm on the website when it's Jollibee.
Jollibee.
Jollibee. They have like a menu I'm showing you.
Yeah.
And rest assured, fried pies or pies of any sorts are not like the top ones. But guess what is?
Chicken.
Something called Jolly Spaghetti. Our unique spaghetti topped with Jollibee's signature sweet-style sauce loaded with chunky slices of savory ham, ground meat, and hot dog.
What?
See, this is a Southern thing.
What?
I wasn't expecting to see spaghetti.
Is this a sit-down place?
They got burger steaks, too.
Is this a sit-down
place? Hey, if you subscribe to their newsletter, you receive a free peach mango pie, which I...
That sounds all right.
Mango in a pie?
That sounds okay. Peaches and mangoes are pretty similar. I don't know, man.
That's what it looks like.
That looks like a chocolate pie.
That's an ube pie.
Oh, that's...
But don't worry, you can get a side of Jolly Spaghetti.
I don't even know what ube is.
Okay, I found the pie. Adobe rice. Okay, now I'm... Okay, hold on. This is like Southern comfort food.
But are they fast food?
About us.
I think that's what throws me off. They took over a Jack in the Box, but now the way you're explaining it is more like a sit down like Luby's.
Are you ready to really have your
Oh, great. Yeah, let's hear it.
About us. Okay. Jollibee is the flagship brand of Jollibee Food Corporation, the largest and fastest growing Asian restaurant company in the world.
What? What?
I'm shook it. With 100,
I thought you said it was a Southern thing.
I don't know. With 100 stores in North America and over 1,500 stores across the globe, and many more yet to come. I don't know. Spirit of family and fun, humility, listen, integrity, speed with excellence. It's a fried chicken place. Jollibee is best known for Chicken Joy, our signature fried chicken, which is delicately hand-breaded to be next level crispy on the outside, with a secret marinade making it next level juicy on the inside.
They've got a secret.
But they have
marinade.
This creepy mascot that's making me be
like. It's like a little bee, right?
Oh my gosh. In the Philippines, there's a term called bayanihan, which means an act by which people work together toward a common good. If you have the bayanihan spirit, we'd love for you to join the Jollibee family. Wow, they seem so multicultural. I am so confused.
I tell you what, I think that the best pies out there are the ones that are made for the good of. The common.
I'm literally common looking group. At a plate with a fried chicken drumstick next to spaghetti with hot dogs, marinara sauce, and cheddar cheese on top. I don't know what to make of
Where's
this.
Where's the pie? Is
there's
there
no
pie on? There's no pie on there.
No pie on there. Oh. So confused. Anyway, we've spent chicken, too much time on chicken.
Chicken, sketty, pie.
Incredible.
That's what they need to have on there.
Incredible.
On their.
Incredible.
You know what? I think we're going to have to go there.
I will not touch the spaghetti. But
I'll get the spaghetti.
I'll try the
Jake
next
try
level
it.
Chicken.
We can get some chicken. We can get some pies.
Okay.
All right.
Are we done?
Well, now going on 18 minutes. That lasted 8 minutes longer than we planned.
And remember, there's no editing, so buckle up.
We're not editing. Get excited. Should we just do a pivot and just make this all about food?
No.
Yeah, no, we're done.
No. Are you ready?
Okay, moving on.
I'm
moving
on
to
science news. Are you ready? This article I saw and I was interested in it, but then also confused because I swore we knew this already. So anyway, this is the, the headline. Scientists push new paradigm of animal consciousness, saying even insects may be sentient. To which I was like, wait a minute. We all know that animals are conscious. That's why dog people exist. That's why you have pets. Because you bond with them and there is an emotional connection with them, right? This is the first paragraph. Bees play by rolling wooden balls, apparently for fun. The cleaner Rossi fish appears to recognize its own reflection in an underwater mirror. Octopuses seem to react to anesthetic drugs and will, which I don't understand what that has to do with sentience, and will avoid settings where they likely experience pain. All three of these discoveries came in the last 5 years, indication that the more scientists test animals, the more they find that many species may have inner lives and be sentient. So, Dr. Joe, what is the definition of sentient?
I think the definition is the realization of...
Like selfhood?
Your own life, yeah. So, if you think about the idea of... an animal just going about surviving and like they're
like a goldfish.
A goldfish. He's just there swimming around. His job is to eat, do whatever. Like, he's not there thinking, wow, this bowl is such a terrible little place for me to live. I really wonder what else is out there.
Rich. Yeah.
Like, that's not...
But, like, we've had proof for years of, like, whales mourning their young. Multiple different animals, like, experiencing grief. So that's why I'm, like, I'm confused why this is new information.
Is it mourning their young or just expecting them to continue
No, there's
on
a
with
very,
them?
There's a very, there was an instance where a mother whale, baby calf died, and she carried, and I'll look it up, she carried, like, they would do, like, these really sad whale songs, which we can tell to some degree that, like, the emotion behind some of the whale songs. Yeah. And she basically, like, carried the dead baby around and would not let go for, like, weeks until, like, she couldn't do it anymore. And so, like, there's, and even, like, I feel like elephants are, they're also ones that mourn their young or have been very, anyway, I thought that was really interesting. I mean, the bugs is kind of interesting.
Yeah,
because then, like, are you going to think twice when you kill that cockroach? Because maybe it's having a really reflective thought life.
Maybe it's just having a rough day, and it just
wanted
a
quick,
easy meal.
It's just trying to make
a living
for its family.
It just wanted to come in and say, listen, I get it. There's going to be food here, and I just really need something to eat. Maybe that's
working that
9 to 5
cockroach.
Maybe it's just having a hard day.
Does this information change anything about how you will react to the animal life in around us?
No.
Wow. Cold-blooded.
I think there is... Yeah, I just... I don't know. I don't really think about it. Because I think there's... I think if you were to make a decision on this, like, oh, well, bugs are sentient. They recognize their own life and their own mortality. If you make that distinction or that assumption or move forward with that for all animals, then shouldn't you have that same response for all animals? As in, like, if you're going to not kill cockroaches because now you think that they are sentient.
Some people are like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's...
Go ahead.
I think that is where I would go with it is either this isn't going to change anything or it's going to change everything. Meaning I'm either going to be vegetarian or I'm just going to keep living the way I am right now.
Do you think this creates theological questions of like who has a soul and who doesn't? Because the way you describe sentient makes me think of very human-like qualities.
Yep.
Which begs the question, what is the difference? If we are all if we find out that we're all sentient, then, because like that's like whenever it's people talk about like made in the image of God, that's one of the things that they say.
Yeah.
Is like the defining characteristic.
I agree. I think it is. I think that's I think the hard part of that question is that based on everything in the Bible and everything that we read and follow, we are separate. We are made in the image of God and we are special.
Right.
Meaning humans.
Right.
So there is everything else, but we are in control or in dominion or ruling over it, I don't think is necessarily the right terms, but like, yeah, we are like this world is something that we have been told to
cultivate
and to, I'm forgetting the word now, but yeah.
So the cockroaches are not in charge.
Are not in what?
In charge.
No, they're not in charge. They're going to be in heaven. It's not because they are choosing to be. It is purely God's choice. Kind of like us anyway. But I don't think that... It doesn't make me think that cockroaches have a soul. Sorry, cockroaches.
Well, speaking of bugs, are you ready?
To eat bugs? Yeah, let's do it.
For Cicadageddon.
Cicadageddon. Is that what it's called? Cicadageddon.
Cicadageddon. They're already starting to hatch.
I saw some of them TikToks out there.
Yeah, ooh. You're on TikTok?
No, oh. I think...
Wait, did I send it to you?
I think you somewhere.
Are we going to be affected by this?
Maybe I saw it on the news.
Oh, for those of you listening who don't know what we're talking about, there is...
All seven of you from other countries.
Trillions of I'm reading it.
Evolution?
This is what it says. This is... trillions of cicadas... I don't like how this is written. Anyway, a ton of them are coming. Apparently, they lie dormant for 13 to 17 years. Yep. But apparently, it's like the largest hatching in like 300, 200 years or something crazy. But what? According to this map, we're not in the
zone. We're not in the main zone. No. Yeah, it's really more the Northeast.
It's like the Midwest, Northeast.
Yeah.
Wow. So we're not going to get any of them.
Yeah, we're...
Wait, is Tennessee in there?
It's
going to
miss us, but...
Is Tennessee in
there? Tennessee's in there a little bit. Emergence in 2025, brood 14. It's a 17-year brood. Brood 13. 17-year cycle is Northern Illinois, Northern to kind of Central. And then the brood 19.
That's crazy that we've been tracking it this long.
Yeah.
What do cicadas do? Like, are they going to eat crops? Why are there so many of them?
You know,
I thought we had like an overuse of pesticides or something.
Yeah, somehow cicadas survive. So here's the craziest part. Are you ready for this fun fact?
Oh, I'm ready.
For bugs?
Yeah. Are we going to eat them? Cicadas?
Cicadas are...
Protein heavy.
They are very much like shrimp.
Stop.
So they are more,
I
think they are in the same.
They're land shrimp.
I want to say they are like in the same. I feel like that's wrong.
Do you want me to fact check you?
I want to say they are a crustacean. But yeah, fact check me on that.
Are cicadas shrimp? Is that what you want me to?
Yeah, cicadas and shrimp.
Are cicadas shrimp?
But... They supposedly have a very shrimpy, fleshy feel, and they are also very protein heavy. And therefore, if you don't live next to the ocean, which is what we're seeing, these are all coming out in Illinois, Missouri, a little bit of Tennessee.
You can have yourself a little shrimp barbie.
They should have a little bit of a shrimp fest.
I mean, they should harvest. Well, I mean, I guess... Don't over-harvest. Yeah. I'm all for bugs as food. This says, don't eat cicadas if you're allergic to seafood, as these insects share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters.
Ba-boom.
Wow. Enough that it would make you sick?
You can consider them the flying fish of the
Midwest.
Prairie.
Insects and crustaceans are both arthropods, and researchers say they probably shared a common ocean-dwelling ancestor millions of years ago.
That's it. Arthropods.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Everybody who loves seafood, specifically shellfish, specifically shrimp and lobsters and crawfish, for all you southern gents. And what's the female version of gents? Bells?
The female version of gents?
Yeah. Like you say, southern gentlemen, southern
ladies
gents.
Ladies and gents.
Ladies? That doesn't sound right.
Ladies and gentlemen. Gents is just short for
gentlemen. Yeah, but is there like a short...
Oh, like a southern belle.
Is there, gents and bells?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, if we had editing power, we'd cut that part out because that's
ridiculous. No editing.
No editing this time. But for anybody who likes those types of shellfish, those crustaceans, then we should be eating cicadas too. We should try it out.
Done. I'm just imagining like a little coconut shrimp, but it's actually a cicada.
You just kind of chop it up, roll it around in a little bit of coconut and some tempura flour and fry it up. I wouldn't mind trying it.
I wonder, I mean, surely
I did hear,
has.
I heard this on the Meat Eater podcast network, but meaning the whole shrimp and cicadas thing.
Okay.
But the one thing that I distinctly remember from that, which ended up being like last year they said it, you don't want to get them when they're old. So like when the cicadas are basically like flying around, running into things, dying.
Like after the shell?
After they are, no, not like.
I don't know what point the shell comes in, but I love the
shell.
Things.
The shell, they emerge, they go lock up onto something, and that shell is them going from their,
larva?
Their larva bug phase into a flying insect phase.
So we don't want to eat the flying insects. We want
can eat the flying insect, but when it's like running into trees and like just laying on the ground and like flipping around trying to fly away, it's nearer the end of its life. Those ones are the ones you don't want to eat.
Do you think this could be a new menu addition to the Jollibee's restaurant chain?
I do think like so.
You find hot dogs in your spaghetti. Also, cicadas.
I think that I would expect more, since, you know, their Asian heritage, I would expect more like eel or potentially crickets. Two totally different things. But
yeah, but you got to get the bug that is native to the country that you're in. Kind of like how McDonald's has different things depending on what country they're in. Like, yeah. They don't do the McRib over in like McDonald's India.
Do you think that they've got hot dogs over in Jollibee's in Asia?
I don't know. Spam is really popular. Maybe it's a spam thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I certainly don't, since I've never been there.
If I drive past Jollibee's all the time. Do you want me to just pick you up a side of Jollibee spaghetti?
Give me some of that spaghetti.
So nasty.
Sounds good.
It looks like ketchup on noodles with hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
No
that's
offense, Jollibee's.
Good.
No offense. So
that sounds good.
I only have one more because the other one I need to read in like thoroughly before we talk about it because I'm not really sure what it's trying to say, but the headline looked really dope.
We could read the headline.
Oh. Well, the headline says, our unique lineage, human evolution has run in complete reverse from other vertebrates. That's all. I got to read it. Fascinating,
like,
right?
Is that like a shout out to us walking on 2 feet and most other animals walking on four?
Would that imply that we're going to eventually walk on all fours?
I don't know. That is such a, it's such a confusing headline. But, you know, it kind of goes back to the whole conversation we've been having. We are different from.
Here, let me read it. I found a paragraph since we're getting into it.
Go for it.
The consensus among paleontologists. Oh, it was talking about how the different hominins. The consensus among paleontologists is that climate change is the primary factor that shapes the emergence and extinction of hominin species, ironically. However, a new study from the University of Cambridge has unveiled a strikingly unconventional pattern in human evolution. Researchers found that the rate of emergence of new species in our lineage is unparalleled among vertebrates, and it's all got to do with interspecies competition. The study found that unlike other vertebrates, where competition generally suppresses speciation after ecological niches are filled, the Homo lineage shows an unusual trend where increased competition coincides with an increase in the formation of new species. Do you know what that means, Mr. Science?
I zoned out a little bit.
See, this is why.
That's what happens when you start talking about paleontology. But if I understood it correctly, what that is saying is that competition causes humans to change and change rapidly versus other species where competition causes the best traits to win and
the excel. Other ones to die out.
And the other ones to die out.
So do you think this comes back to the whole sentient thing, to where different hominins could recognize the human qualities in each other, so they're not going to like just kill everybody, but it just made them – more specialized.
And they're like, well, I'm not going to kill those people, not because they can't live here with us. I'm going to let them go live somewhere else.
Right.
Could be.
Who knows? I have to finish the article.
That, I think that.
Do you think I could work at the University of Cambridge as a paleontologist?
No.
Wait, what?
That, yeah, of course
How
you can.
How dare you?
Of That's course not- you can. But what you're, so this, not to get into the weeds on paleontology, but.
Do you like paleontology?
There's paleontology, and then there's anthropology, and then there's like a middle ground somewhere.
Right, dinosaurs versus pottery.
Yeah, but there's pottery, and then there's pottery from existing people today, which is maybe sociology.
Like pottery, like in for sale in the Bishop Arts District.
Yeah.
You have to be an anthropologist for that?
No, what I'm saying is there is the study of humans and culture and all of that.
Right.
And what you can literally physically go and look and see and experience.
Right.
Of an existing culture.
Okay. Anthropologists.
Sure.
Okay.
But then there is ancient people who we do not have connection to,
right,
and we have no direct evidence of,
right,
direct evidence of what the culture was, how they did things, all of this stuff. And you can think of like the Incas or the Egyptians. Like, we have all of their stuff and we can look at it,
right, and you're putting the pieces together.
Yeah, but those Egyptians are not the same as Egyptian culture today,
right?
So there's that jump that has to be made.
Right.
That connection.
Right.
I don't remember why I was talking about that.
Speciation, lots of different hominins, not killing each other.
So there's that. And then there's paleontology, which is really not as much focused on the people. So what you are talking about, the sentient aspect of that, that is getting into that, like, the more on the anthropology side.
Right.
So like a paleontologist is going to find these things and say, oh, there's 20 different species of hominids here.
Right.
And then you're trying to explain why.
It's the psychology behind it.
That why aspect is
the metaphysics.
Is now bringing in the sociology, anthropology, like the human cultural side of it.
Right. So I could work at the University of Cambridge, just different department.
Different department.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to say the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Are you ready for my last science news? And keep in mind, these are very heady science articles today.
I think that before we get off that topic, I just think that's a pretty interesting idea.
And my hypothesis?
Yes. And I do feel like that is something that people don't think about or don't give credit to, because they are so focused on just laying out the facts and the science behind it. People don't think about the why as often.
It's harder to prove.
It's really hard to prove, but just that simple idea there of our sentient self-realization, which could be being made in the image of God and being given that recognition and understanding of what we are.
Right.
That could impact something as significant as how we grow as a species.
Well, 'cause like we have genetic proof that Homo sapiens intermingled with Neanderthals.
Yeah.
So obviously, on a grand scale, I mean, subjectively, there was a recognition that these people are similar, if not the same as us, to the point where we can have children with this other sapien group, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm like, obviously there was a recognition
Yep.
of sameness.
Yep.
But I don't, I mean, despite this article coming out about sentient animals, I don't think all animals have that ability. Who knows? I'm not an animal person.
I mean, if, me neither. I think there's a lot to that. A lot of stuff. Whoa.
Okay. Last but not least, are you ready?
Yes.
Two life forms merge in once in a billion years evolutionary event.
Yeah, I saw that.
You did?
Well, because you shared it to you? You shared it on Instagram. Well, look at that.
Scientists have caught a once in a billion years evolutionary event in progress as two life forms have merged into one organism that boasts abilities its peers would envy. Last time this happened, Earth got plants. Which, I mean, I'm not going to be picky, but
I love plants.
We weren't there when Earth got plants. So is this how we know? I didn't realize that that's the current consistency of how plants became plants, is that two organisms merged together. Is it algae? I don't know enough about science.
I don't know. I didn't read the article either, but it really depends on what the article says. And when you, I have to go back to my undergrad plant biology class. But
they just told me the answer. Go ahead.
It did?
Yeah, it did.
So, okay, I'll just let me take my stab at it. Yeah, so when you think about a plant, it does photosynthesis.
It does.
But the photosynthesis is only occurring in a specific spot, like a specific piece of the plant. So like how our cells have like four or five different things in it, plant cells have their like life, like whatever they do, but then they also have the that one piece that is doing photosynthesis.
Right.
So the idea of plants themselves, what everybody looks at when they look at plants, they being scientists have come to the conclusion that that photosynthetic part of the plant was at one time previously a different life form that got absorbed into some other amoeba thing and then created plants.
Okay, well, this says, in the 4 billion odd year history of life on Earth, primary endosymbiosis, which is what this whole thing is called, is thought to have only happened twice that we know of, and each time was a massive breakthrough for evolution. The first occurred about 2.2 billion years ago when an archaea, not sure what that is, swallowed a bacterium that became the mitochondria.
Ooh,
this
specialized
energy producing... You know what
the mitochondria is? It's the powerhouse of the cell.
It's the specialized energy producing organelle allowed for basically all complex forms of life to evolve.
Yeah, the powerhouse of the cell.
Is that from like a Schoolhouse Rock video or something?
No, it's from... It's from Mrs. something
Frizzle.
Or other.
Mrs. Frizzle?
No, not Mrs. Frizzle.
The Magic School Bus?
No.
Who?
No, from my sixth grade science teacher.
I should have known. You know, always talk about Mrs. your sixth grade science
Mrs.
teacher.
Mrs. something or other.
What's her name? You don't even remember her name, but you remember her quote? I mean, surely she was reading the textbook.
I mean, literally everybody calls it the powerhouse of the cell.
Okay, well, shout out to Joe's sixth grade science teacher. Oh my God. Next sentence. It remains the heralded, quote, powerhouse of the cell, end quote, to this day.
It's almost like I read the article. Hashtag public school.
The second time happened about 1.6 billion years ago when some of these more advanced cells absorbed cyanobacteria that could harvest energy from sunlight. These became organelles called chloroplasts, which gave sunlight harvesting abilities as well as a fetching green color to a group of life forms that you might have heard of.
Plants. Now, here's the part that I wasn't going to share. I couldn't remember what it was called.
Plants. It's a hard word.
No. No, what that piece was. The cyanobacteria makes sense. But I kept wanting to say chloroform, but I'm like, no, that's right. What you do to make people pass out. It's not chloroform, but it's some type of chloro something.
Right. Well, now scientists have discovered that it's happening again. A species of algae called, oh God, don't even make me. I'm going to give it a shot. Are you ready? I apologize if whatever comes out of my mouth is offensive in any way, shape, or form. Bra Arudo Sefera Bigelowi. That wasn't so bad. Was found to have engulfed a cyanobacterium that lets them do something that algae and plants in general can't normally do. Fixing nitrogen straight from the air and combining it with other elements to create more useful compounds.
What, fam? Are you serious?
Is that a big news?
Yeah.
How so?
That's huge news.
Take a stab at it.
Here's the thing.
How do you know so here's much about random
here's
stuff?
Here's the thing about nitrogen.
Okay. You are nitrogen big on nitrogen.
Is what? The thing about nitrogen is that it is obviously it's very important for plants, but the way that plants can get nitrogen is only through a specific form. There's like three different nitrogen molecules. The one that is bioavailable for plants only get it through a symbiotic relationship with fungus. So you have the
rhizome. How do you know this?
Because it's about gardening. Okay. It's essentially gardening. Okay. So you need these fungus rhizome networks in your gardens. Otherwise, your plants do very poorly. And more importantly, if you have those rhizome networks, then you don't have to put on as much fertilizer. And right now, the biggest problem is that fertilizer is because so little of the fertilizer actually gets into the plants, it all ends up as runoff. All that runoff creating more algae plumes in the oceans, which is bad for the environment. And making fertilizer, as you point out, is also bad for the environment. So if there is a way that plants could start fixing their own nitrogen and doing it in a fast and easy way, they can start growing gangbusters.
Well, nitrogen is a key nutrient, and normally plants and algae get theirs through symbiotic relationships with bacteria that remain separate. At first, it was thought that the B. bigelowi, I'm glad that they shortened that for me, had hooked up this kind of situation with a bacterium called whatever. But on closer inspections, scientists discovered that the two had gotten more intimate, a.k.a. they merged. Anyway, it keeps on going on and on, but the fact that you got really excited about that is fascinating to me.
It is pretty cool. See, this is another reason why you are supposed to plant legumes.
Oh.
So beans and stuff, because that is a naturally nitrogen fixing plant.
Right.
So it has a more symbiotic relationship, and it will put bioavailable nitrogen into the ground for all the other plants.
Well, there you go. Beans, the magical fruit.
The more you plant, the more you fruit.
You can't rhyme fruit with fruit. I'll workshop it.
We got it. If only we could delete that. That's embarrassing for me.
Okay, take us home.
Well, you all already know the sponsor, Jolly Polly.
Jujube
Skitty Town. Make sure, don't forget your fried pies. Or regular pies. I don't even know what kind of pies they are.
They have ube pie. They have mango.
Peach mango. They probably have...
I think apple.
Apple. Yeah. Maybe even a lemon custard.
No.
If you're into lemon custard pies...
They did not have a lemon custard according to the website.
If you do like lemon custard pies, but you can't get it from Julie B's, then go to the pie shop. Either in Houston...
Or in Glenrose, Texas.
Glenrose, Texas. Or if you don't want to drive to Glenrose... They also have an outpost at the travel stop in Fairfield, Texas.
Wait, there you go.
You could go there. I'm going to say they're cold and they're not good. You're going to have to warm it up.
Shots fired.
But I don't get my fried pies there anymore. I tried it once and I was like, never again. But
no,
if you've never
this
had
family
one,
goes to Jollibee.
Jujubee's. Jujubee. We go to Jujubee to get our pies. Well, with that, Maybe we'll see you in 2 weeks. Maybe we'll see you in two months. Maybe we'll never see you again.
Signing off.
Signing off for But Here We Go Podcast. But Here We Go. Bye.